Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, known as the Natural Sister, here to dish up some deliciously delectable, consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. I would like to give a big thank you to the wonderful Gay Adegbolola, who brought us in with her Hungry Woman Blues. And we like to think that we have the cure for that on this show. We're on second Sundays at 6. We serve up a big dish on natural and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. To get started, let me share with you a little bit about myself. With Spirit, I co-created Mind, Body, and Spirit Works to facilitate restoration of balance to mind, body, and spirit through divinely inspired holistic healing and teaching services. So if you take a big scoop of years as a psychotherapist, a prevention specialist, and a corporate trainer, then you blend in a dollop of additional education to get a natural wellness certificate, several years of developing my intuitive gifts, and finish it off with a few pinches of my current work with the body through massage and Reiki energy healing, as well as my providing healing workshops, teaching public speaking, and facilitating conscious communication. And the end result is this yummy radio program, Mind, Body, and Soul Food, which provides an opportunity each month to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of truly gifted holistic healers and light workers. And I truly appreciate all of you listeners who provide amazing support. We have well over 14,000 listens to date, and we continue to grow. Thank you also to those who listened in last month to the inspiring show with guests Maria Judea and Edith Raw of Design Space Concepts Incorporated out of Brooklyn, who spoke on transforming trash to treasure, thus finishing up our summer sustainability series and launching our conscious design series. So please check them out on demand here on Blog Talk Radio. So I am thrilled to host part two of our two-part Conscious Design Series. Our guest is a multifaceted interior designer and doll artist who just published her first book entitled Feel Good Spaces, A Guide to Decorating Your Home for Body, Mind, and Spirit. It's a meaty topic for sure, and one that speaks to my heart. So let's give a warm mind, body, and soul food welcome to Sherry Burton Ways. Hello, Sherry, and thank you for taking time out to chat about this delicious masterpiece you've created.
Peaceful greetings to you, Tanya. It's an honor to be here to speak with you today.
Thank you. I felt that. It's like, ooh, peaceful greetings. Wonderful.
Yes, people greetings.
I like that. I like that. I might have to borrow that.
Sure.
Well, to start things off, could you share more with our listeners about who you are?
Sure. I am, again, Sherry Burton Ways, and I am the principal designer for a decor firm based here in Washington, D.C., called Creative, spelled with a K, Ways and Solutions, LLC. And through that company, we provide interior design services that help create healing spaces through color and arrangement. So basically using color therapy, feng shui, and interior environment coaching techniques. I help people to understand more than just the aesthetics of a place, but to understand what is blocking them in their lives by looking at the spaces in which they live, work, and play. And I do this through the use of personalized feng shui, color therapy, and holistic interior design concepts. So I've been doing this work for 8 years and have been really fascinated at how I've been able to transform people's spaces, their lives, just through understanding better how their interior environments enhance their lives. So that's what I'm about. When I first started, it wasn't something that was very popular that designers were doing, and now I see it a little bit more popping up all over the place, but this is truly about my design philosophy and how I like to work with clients to make their spaces an instrument for healing and creating spaces that inspire them. And that's our motto for the firm.
I love it. I love it. And how perfect that you have created this book. Once again, congratulations on the publication of your book,
Thank
Feel
you.
Good Spaces. What inspired you to actually write it?
You know, a couple of things did, and I'll just briefly mention them. One was a death in my family and in my husband's family, as well as an employment situation that I was dealing with, coupled with discrimination, being an African-American woman and so forth, and working in an environment that was not serving me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I get more into that in the book as to the creation of my first feel-good space in my first home almost 10 years ago. The other couple other things was several years ago I was really reading a lot, and still do, of metaphysics, spirituality, authors such as Wayne Dyer, Yolanda Van Zandt,
love
and others.
Love her.
And as a matter of fact, she just posted on her Facebook page about a peaceful environment. So while I was learning that, I started, you know, trying to bring that into what I was creating in my home. And then lastly, it was a client that I worked with several years ago who kept telling me she was getting ready to retire from the federal government, and we were working on her home, and she was looking forward to the retirement time and kept saying to me, I just want to feel good. She just kept saying when I come home, I just really want to feel good. So in pulling all of that together, I was really inspired to, number one, show people my own experience and show them that they can create a space that makes them feel good when they come home from work, no matter what their situation is, or use it as a healing tool, or they might have come back from a fabulous vacation in Hawaii or someplace and they want to recreate that in their home because they were so relaxed, their blood pressure went down, they were totally at a zen feeling. How can I recreate what I experienced at a spa or a hotel or nature in my home? So that's how this whole mixture or recipe came to be with this book.
Well, you know, that makes sense to me because when I just saw the title of your book before I even read it, and I thought, Feel Good Space, and automatically what came to me was that old commercial, Calgon, Take Me Away.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know if you
awesome.
Remember that.
Yeah.
And so I've always thought of a Feel Good Space as a place that will take me away from it all. And even if you have like a stressful home life, still having a space within the home in which you're taken away from it all.
Right.
And you've mentioned some things. What are some other ways that you would describe a feel-good space? Like, what would it look like or feel like, or maybe what qualities would it embody other than that healing that you mentioned?
Sure. Now, my definition of a feel-good space really is any space that makes you feel transformed, energized, and productive. And I think all of us can kind of relate to that definition. And, you know, we rely on our homes, you know, as a refuge, a place where we can find solace and peace. And basically, there's so much going on in society right now. We've had so many things happen within the last year. And I think in particular now, as we're facing a lot of major decisions in November and other things, there's so much coming at us. So much chatter, so much on our jobs, the economy and everything. And it's really all about creating that sacred space for yourself where you can just come to a place where the colors soothe you, the environment is just wonderful. I look at it as the five senses, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us can look at ways that we could create a space that smells good, that has soothing sounds, that tastes good, whether it's through smell or actual taste, that feels good, where you can feel fabrics and things like that. And then there's the important things of function flow, looking at how does a space flow from one space to another. One of the single most important questions I ask my clients is, how would they like their room to function? You know, is this space for serving you? And if not, how do we want that space to function? So if a room doesn't flow, it doesn't feel. So that's one of the main concepts. So we want to look at the ease of activities of a space, the flow of colors from one room to the next, and how we feel with the furnishings, the layout. There's certain things such as design style, if there's certain types of furniture that we like over others. Some people don't know what kind of design style they like.
Right.
But when they see
right.
it. So that's very important to them.
Right. I think many of us watch the design shows and whatnot, and you hear mid-century modern and early American. That has no meaning for me whatsoever, but
right.
I know what I like when
exactly.
I see it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So with this book, what I try to do is help people through exercises figure out what is a feel-good space for them. What are those elements that they want to see to create a space? Now, for me, it's color. For me, it's furniture layout. For me, it's all of those things that create that space for me. For others, it could be other things. Plants, big healing in an interior. So that's very important.
And all of those really resonate with me. When I read the book, it just... It really, really, I almost had check marks going off. Yep, yep, yep. All of those things. It's almost as if I intuitively knew many of those. But I have to tell you that years ago I read a book, and you referenced it in your book by Karen Kingston.
Right.
Clear Your Clutter with Feng Shui.
Right.
That was a life-changing book for me.
Yeah.
Because I come from a long, did I say long, line
right.
of clutter bugs.
Yeah.
And I realized that I also can clutter, not in the same way in which my family does, but I can over-design. I know you mentioned that concept in the book.
Right.
With, it's like, okay, well, this knick-knack looks good and that, and you know, but that matches, and so I have to keep that together, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So, you know, that type of clutter, but I am used to piles of things obstructing walkways and things like that, and I know that I go crazy in a space like that. It interrupts me and my functioning. I can't get things done. I don't feel good.
Mm-mm.
And so I could understand that whole concept of the function and the flow and how it can impact how you feel. Now, when it comes to that clutter, because I know that there are other clutter bugs out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've met some. I'm not naming any names, but I've met many. Said with love. No judgment.
Right.
How does clutter impact the feel of a home?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's so many ways, and I list them in the book, as you know, and give some really good tips and exercises on how to overcome that. But I'm just going to list a few that I talk about in the book.
And that's fine, because we want people to buy the book, Sherry.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't
want to
give away all your goodies, right?
Well, one of the things that I have noticed, even amongst my clients, is when you have a cluttered home, a cluttered space, a cluttered office, I noticed that people tend to be more melancholy, more depressed. So emotionally, it affects you from the standpoint that people with cluttered space be a lot more depressed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, if you're feeling depressed, you're not obviously feeling good. The second thing I want to mention is that you feel disorganized and uncentered. You feel scattered. Your brain is all over the place. I have a client that I have been working with who, you know, as we start working together and coaching together, and one of the things that I do is not just design work, but I do coaching as well, interior things. So that helps to give people an opportunity to assess their space and assess how their space is working, how they're feeling about the space. And one of the things she kept on saying to me, I just feel so scattered, I feel this and I feel that. And as we began to work together to clean out her space, to declutter, she started feeling more in control of the overall design process and started feeling more in control of herself. And I started seeing that scatteredness, that feeling of out of control, starting to dissipate. And as we're going through a major renovation, major redesign, she is at a point right now where she's feeling so much more relaxed, calmer about the process, because when she started throwing stuff out and organizing her space and figuring out what can be kept and what could be thrown away, she really began to feel better about the situation. And then I guess the third thing that I want to mention is that sometimes when we are in cluttered spaces, we feel embarrassed about, how our space looks. We feel we don't want to bring people into our homes. We don't want to entertain. We don't, we feel ashamed. So, obviously, if you're feeling that way, you're not feeling good. So, clutter is can affect us in all those different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we go into a little bit more and with a really great exercise to help people, identify what works for them and what's not working for them, and helping them resolve their feelings about getting rid of things that may be sentimental to them as well. So I'm just really excited. That's one of my favorite chapters, actually.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I have to say, I really did enjoy reading the book. And prior to the show, we were talking about, how it was an easy read. And I had to beg to differ there. And it's like, it's not an easy read for me, because I kept getting inspired. I would see things, and it was like I would raise my hand, that's me, especially around the over-design piece.
Right.
And I never thought of myself as a cluttery-type person.
Right.
But I really could see that. And I started going around and collecting pieces and looking at, do I really still need this? How do I feel about this? Now, you know, mind you, I am so busy this weekend. I had things to do. I was working to get through the book, but I had to stop and take care of my home, my space, and to help it to feel good again. And I have to tell you, I felt such a sense of accomplishment.
Awesome. And that's what we want you to feel.
Yes, I did
book.
Some releasing. Yes, yes.
Awesome. Good. I mean, I had another very close colleague who read it, and she said the same thing. She said, Sherry, I immediately started decluttering and rethinking my space. And there were some things that I was thinking about doing, but now I'm taking a step back. So really hit home piece about this is that this is a guide that anyone could read, and they can read it at their own pace.
Yes.
Exercises, thought-provoking information to help people really think through what it is that they are seeking to do and why. So it's just an exciting process, and I'm just, you know, thrilled that a lot of people are beginning to embrace this concept, because I think forward-thinking leaders, Oprah, I mean, come on. There was a few months ago where she interviewed Gloria Steinem on her show, and she toured her house in New York City, her brownstone. And it was just so interesting to see Gloria talking about these concepts of what inspired the women's movement and how it started on her breakfast table and how she, or dining table, I can't remember which, but and pointing out things of sentimental value to her. And I said, my goodness, what a feel-good space. And, you know, Oprah gets it, Yanla, Wayne Dyer, if anyone's familiar with him, and I know you are, Tanya, but Dr. Dyer, who's on the PBS show, who talks a lot about his books and so forth, he's even integrating these concepts in his book when he's talking about the healing person. So it's a fantastic, fantastic thing, and I'm just so excited to share these ideas with the rest of that I've learned in the last 8 to 10 years on my own, as well as through working with clients and my many teachers who have helped me along the way.
Well, one thing that the book did that I felt really good about, you know, I wasn't feeling good about the clutter and I had to do something about it.
Right, yeah.
But it was very empowering and very validating. I felt, after reading it, wow, I'm doing a lot of things right.
Okay.
Because I know that my house does feel good to me, usually. You know, it might be a little too much clutter sometimes, but it feels good. I love to incorporate the senses, as you mentioned, you know, how things feel, the different fabrics that may be used. I love to have wonderful aromatherapy diffusing throughout the room to have a good scent when I walk through the door. That, I mean, and I'm very olfactory, so I need, it has to smell good, you know. And I want it to be aesthetically pleasing when I look at it. And so a lot of things I was doing right. I am doing well, and I have to pat myself on the back for that. And I had to laugh as well because we seem to have a lot in common. Because, you know, in my travels to Ghana and various places, I've collected a lot of African art and African-American art, and that has so much meaning for me. And I've used that to help create a feel-good space. And that's a very nice feeling.
Yeah, because one of the things that I talk about in the book, as you know, is kind of creating a space that culturally, okay, as well as aesthetically and healing, speaks to you.
Yes.
Because for some of us, to see things that are familiar to our culture can be a healing experience when we enter a space.
Yes.
So that was very important to me in my travels to Africa, and to the Caribbean and other places to kind of create that for myself. And it really helped to transform me. So I'm just so pleased. And I talk about specifically how I do that in the book. And that might inspire someone else to think about their culture and bringing artifacts and colors and symbols and meanings to their space, because it's so important. It's so important to identify. And see, this book also is not about decorating or designing for your neighbor, okay, or for others. It's all about designing for yourself. So it is a selfish book, I always say to people. But it's selfish from the standpoint, when we're creating feel-good spaces, we do want our family involved. Mm-hmm. We want them to feel good in the space as well. So I talk about the collaborative effort of families and others being involved in the process. But it's all about creating a space that inspires you. Mm-hmm. And someone argued with me about that. Well, what if I come in your space and I don't like what I see? It's not about you.
Right.
It's not about the other person, I mean. It's about you. And 9 out of 10 times, and I was argued down on this, but 9 out of 10 times, when you create a space that makes you happy, people feel that energy. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't like the design style you chose or the colors or whatever, but they can't help but think, wow, I feel good here. Mm-hmm. You know, in all of the homes that I've even personally decorated for myself and my husband was included, people always came in and said, oh, my goodness, this place smells good. Oh, my goodness, there's something about the space that feels good to me.
Yes, yes.
Now, I have an ethnic inspired interior and have always decorated that way. And I know that many folks have come through my door are not into ethnic-inspired furniture and design.
Right.
But they like how they feel when they come in. Mm. And that's something that I want to stress to people. When you're reading this book, feel free to share it with your family. So, you know, if you're a wife, share it with your spouse, your husband, share it with your wife, your children. You know, and really go through these exercises and think about how we can create, say, a family room, a family gathering space that feels good for all of us, that does something good for each and one of us. So that's what we're really talking about here through this book.
Wonderful. Now, you have a number of different credentials behind your name. I won't list them all, but I will mention that you are a certified interior color consultant and a certified color consultant.
Right.
Okay. And so you've talked about, you've devoted a chapter and you continue to allude to color as it plays in a feel-good space. Could you speak a little bit more about the color aspect?
Oh, yeah. You know, throughout, you know, one of the main things, and you mentioned this earlier, is I'm an artist as well, and have been an artist since I was born. you know, and as an artist, I've always been drawn to color. And color is so essential in evoking a feeling of any space. I mean, it's very powerful. So when we talk about color, and I work with people with color, you know, I'm very, very cognizant in helping them understand the power of it, how it can alter moods, how it can set the stage for whatever it is that you want to do in a space. So one of the things as I was coming along and studying interior design and so forth was really learning how the healing aspects of color could work. You know, how, you know, historically color therapy goes back all the way back to the ancient Greeks who used it. Also from interiors as well as help, you know, healing the sick and so forth, and how certain colors can evoke certain healing properties. And I get into this a little bit in the chapter as well. And I've been very fortunate to be able to introduce color to create and set the mood that my clients are looking for, whether it's a healing center and, say, my client is a Reiki expert and does other kinds of things, which is a story that I talk about in the book, and we successfully created this feel-good space for her office. And she set the intention. She told me what she wanted. She wanted her clients to feel good, to feel comfortable. So we chose specific colors to engage that client in that experience. And to this day, that was like 10 years ago. That space holds up to this day. I mean, it's just fantastic. So basically, I just want to share in this book how I use color, how an individual can understand the basics of color and use that to promote a specific aspect of the interior that they're looking to evoke, a feeling. You know, if it's a peaceful feeling, if it's a meditative feeling, if it's, I don't care what, a happy feeling, what are those colors that help you create that in the space? So, you know, all of that comes under color psychology, color therapy, and, you know, color therapy simply is the therapeutic use of color to heal and restore balance, because that's what we're talking about here. When you're talking about feel-good spaces, you're talking about restoring balance in a space and restoring your balance, you know, just like you do Reiki. That's one thing, Reiki level one. Is restoring balance in the individual through healing touch, right? So how can we bring those concepts into the interior? And we can do that through color, amongst other things as well. So that's
You have a lot of good information about color in that chapter.
Oh, yeah.
And you break it down by the different colors and the meanings from different cultures from psychology. And it was very helpful because I started looking around my various spaces and thinking about the colors and the feelings that are evoked in the rooms. And I was also paying attention to my office.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I went on Friday into my office. It's like, okay, feel good space, not just at home, but in my healing space as well, because we had a practitioner to leave. And so the other person that I share the room with, it's like, well, let's redo the room.
Okay.
And I thought, what divine timing that I'm reading this book at this time. And so we both were on the same page in terms of the wall color and what it evoked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not fond of the carpet, but I began to view that color, that green, and the carpet in a different way.
Okay.
And thinking in terms of heart chakra energy and how the work that I do is very heart-centered. And
right.
so that is like the foundation of what I do. And so standing on green carpet became very symbolic, and I started to feel good about that carpet again.
Awesome. Yes, green is a powerful color. It's a healing color, as you alluded, and it's a color that we most often see. You know, whenever we go outside, we see the green grass, we see the
That's
green
true.
Trees, and it's a color that we're comfortable with. And green is becoming more and more a color that people are using to evoke a healing quality that they're looking for in an interior. And then there's some shades of greens and hues of greens that are considered neutrals now. So it's and then with the whole powerful green movement, eco-friendly movement.
Yes,
green is just such a vogue color. So
let's not forget the abundance factor.
Amen. Yes,
abundance.
The wood energy. Wealth energy. Yes.
We'll take it. So
definitely.
I will just dance on that green carpet from now on. I am telling you, I'm seeing it in a different light.
Awesome.
Let's pause for a moment. We're on with Sherry Burton Ways, who is talking about her wonderful new book, Feel Good Spaces, A Guide to Decorating Your Home from Body, Mind, and Spirit. So if there is anyone who would like to call in and ask a question of our guest, the call-in number is 917-889-7806. Again, that is 917-889-7806. Please make sure you follow the instructions with the prompt to speak to the host so that we know that you have a question or a comment. So I have a question. You know, I told you about, I love that book, Clear Your Clutter with Feng Shui by Karen Kingston, and mm-hmm. you mentioned Feng Shui, and that's part of your credentials too.
Yeah.
And could you tell us a little bit more about Feng Shui and how this ties into Feel Good Spaces?
Sure. Just for just a quick synopsis of what Feng Shui is, it's an ancient, it's probably about 6,000 or 7,000 year old Chinese method of creating an environment that has a favorable circulation of energy. So that's creating an environment that has this invisible energy field that creates or evokes the feelings of a space, okay? And this energy promotes health, harmony, and growth, okay? So the Chinese characters of feng shui literally translate to wind and water. So that's kind of the common definition that you hear on feng shui. Wind and water are two visible aspects of nature. They flow, they circulate, they create an energy force called qi or chi. Some people call it mm-hmm. qi. And sometimes you see it spelled C-H-I. Sometimes you see it spelled Q-U-I, Q-I. But that's just this intangible life force. And the Chinese have long believed that qi or qi circulates throughout the body and earth itself. So it's that invisible energy field, and it comes in through your front door as well as your window. So the proper distribution of this energy throughout a space is essential to your health, to your restoring of balance in and out of whatever space that you live, work, or play in. So feng shui is not a religion or a spiritual path. I want to get that out there. I always try to educate anyone about that because there's this misconception that it is, and it really
right.
is. And it's just a concept. It is a tool. And it's just basically looking at how a layout of a space through color, furniture, elements, and all of those things enhance an environment and how that interfaces with a person and an individual's personal chi. So when we're looking at decorating our homes, we're looking at where we place objects, furniture, and other items to achieve peacefulness and harmony. So when we're talking about feel-good spaces, we're talking about how do we bring in certain things to enhance positive and harmony in our homes. And there are basically five feng shui cardinal rules that I've been taught that I believe creates feel good spaces. And number one is have nothing that's broken in a space. If you got something that's broken, broken glass, broken, I don't know, plumbing, whatever, get it fixed. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Because one of the things when we're talking about energy and qi and how that circulates, it will go to that area where it's broken and it will stagnate there, and we don't want that. The other thing is what we talked about before is decluttering, the importance of not having stagnant energy anywhere. Again, when you have piles of clutter, it will circulate there and then it will remain stagnant and it does nothing for you or the space. Zen surfaces, keeping your surfaces clean and free of clutter, very important to make sure that that energy can circulate well and not have a lot of other things that's going to bother it. Basically, creating an environment filled with things that you love and ridding yourself of things you don't love. Okay? Mm. And I always get people, I had somebody ask me one day, well, does that mean people? Well, And I said, you know, it may mean people too. Because anything that makes you feel bad in an environment, you don't want to have around you. And then lastly is creating a sacred space. And that's what Feel Good Spaces is all about, is always finding that space in your home that you feel is sacred to you. Okay? And there's so many times that I talk to clients and I say, well, where's your space? Where is the place that you like to go to meditate, to pray, to read, or whatever? And I said, it could be the bathroom. It could be the corner of your kitchen. It could be, you know, if you're in a small apartment, it could be just a nice little corner in your bedroom or in your living room or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be a big space. It doesn't have to have all kinds of things in it. But just make sure you create that special space for you. So I think feng shui is a great tool. It helps set the intention of a feel-good space as well. It helps you keep things organized, full of great energy throughout your lifetime. So it's an important aspect to feel-good spaces.
Wonderful. Now, if a client were to come in or you went to their home and they are seeking to transform their home or office into a feel-good space, what would be the process to design this space for someone?
Well, first of all, we go back to the function flow piece that we talked about earlier, is first understanding what is it that you want the function of the space to be. You know, you know, if I'm designing multiple rooms, I want to know what each of the functions are for each room. And then when we're talking about a sacred space, a feel-good space, a space where it's personal to an individual, we have to set the intention of that space. Just like we set the intention for anything that we want in our lives, we need to, what I call, program that space.
You need
to set a specific goal for what it is that you want out of that space. And then once the goal is set, we know what we want, then you go to the decluttering process if it needs one. If it doesn't, we go to the color. We go to the furnishings. We go to the space planning, the lighting, all of those things, understanding how those things interact in a space and what we want that space to be and how it functions. And the space and the layout, the colors and the design goes back to the intention or the goal of that space. Okay? So once we get all of that together, then we are constantly going back, even way before we set everything into space, and really assess what it is we're looking for, what it is that's important. And we combine all those things to create the space that truly meets the needs of that individual. So then we might be looking at the five senses, how to incorporating those into the space, which I talk about in the book. We look at creating vision boards of what it is that they want out of the space, what their dreams are, what their ideal space is, because sometimes we need that visual to know what it is and be able to program that within us. So using a combined group of tools and activities, as well as looking at Chinese astrology, one of the things I do is look at a person's time and date that they were born and determine from a feng shui perspective, what are some things that we can bring in? What are some things that they could do without that can help balance that individual? So I take all of those things in consideration and walk them through the entire process. We have meetings. We sit down. They are part of the design process. My philosophy has always been about decorating and design, and maybe because I didn't start out my career doing design, is that making the individual, my clients, part of the process. Because everyone, I don't care what anybody says, that I don't have creativity, I can't do this and I can't do that. At the end of the day, when I'm finished with that client does not realize until I tell them, you know how many decisions you've made on this project? You have realized what your preferences are, things that you like, what you don't like, and you've been a co-creator in the experience. So at the end of the day, they're walking away feeling, like you said, that you felt some level of accomplishment.
Yes.
So yeah. That's basically the philosophy that I use in designing or decorating any space, is making sure that they feel that they're part of the process every step of the way.
You know, in listening to you, it really resonated with me because it reminded me so much of my days as a psychotherapist.
Mm.
This process is so similar.
It is.
You go, yeah, there's this assessment that's going on,
mm-hmm.
which also is an ongoing process, and it's a collaborative effort with the client. And you're looking at what works and what doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
and what are your resources that you can use to help work this out. It's just amazing. I never viewed design in that way, and I love the approach that you take to helping to create a feel-good space. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and it's something that, I feel really lucky that I'm
mm-hmm.
doing something that I truly love that's making a difference in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
really important to me. It's not about me. It's about transforming people's lives. And
yes.
as many of us as healers, I consider myself a healer too, because I'm healing
yes.
people through their spaces.
Oh, definitely.
You know, that you're transforming a person's life. And that's what Feel Good Spaces is all about. If it's about finding ways to help you think about your space, think about what you have known up to this point, okay, and saying to yourself, you know, everything that I've learned up to this point about interior decoration doesn't really matter.
Mm.
I'm transforming my mind into creating something very special.
Right.
And that's so, so important. And basically some of the concepts that I just talked about and how I help people design their spaces is what I guide people through with
mm-hmm.
the book. So I'm really thrilled about that. And I hope people will see it from that perspective as well.
Yes. I am going to invite any listeners who would like to call in with a question to our guest, Sherry Burton-Ways, who's speaking about her book, Feel Good Spaces, A Guide to Decorating Your Home for Body, Mind, and Spirit. You can call in 917-889-7806. Sherry, I have to tell you that the book is very useful, and I think people can achieve a lot if they read your book.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give our listeners who may not have access to it yet, or who may not feel like they have the resources to call on you or another type of designer who can help them create a feel-good space, what is some advice do you have for them if they're looking to transform their space into a feel-good space? Just,
sure.
You know, a few helpful
mm-hmm.
tidbits.
Okay. I'm going to suggest something really easy that I think most people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, everyone should begin to feel that their interior is a manifestation of themselves, okay? So if we all start from that point, we can begin to think of our spaces as an extension of ourselves. So your mind, your body, your spirit are stimulated by all the five senses, such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, right?
Right.
So I believe the simplest way to create a feel-good space is to use the five senses to inspire your home or your office. And finding ways that you can integrate these five spaces into your feel-good space is one of the easiest ways to do it. So you simply need to look around you, tap into your intuitive impulses regarding what you love, what you connect with, and what you want to see in utilizing those five senses. And then the second thing I would say as well, this is really easy, is take a look at magazines. Take a look at some of the online resources like Pinterest. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Houzz, H-O-U-Z-Z, blogs, other websites, magazine websites, designs, blogs or whatever, and find pictures that resonate to you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you might need to collect as much as 30 to 50 spaces, pictures of spaces. And it could be not just spaces. It could be your favorite vacation. Take a look at those photos that you took when you got back from the Bahamas or from the Poconos, if you want to talk about something close by, or from Ocean City or whatever. And what was it that inspired you when you look at those pictures? What makes you smile? Take notes of that. Take some notes on what inspires you about those pictures and begin to create a list of adjectives, of words that inspire you, and then think about the colors, think about the materials, think about all those things that you see in those photos, and begin to think about how those could be integrated in your space. So that would be the best advice I could give.
Okay, that's good advice, and that's simple enough to do as well. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sherry, I don't know where the time has gone. It certainly has been
winding down. Oh, my goodness, yeah, we've had so much fun here. Yeah.
That's for sure. How can listeners get a copy of your book, and what is the cost?
Okay, the first thing is to go to www.myfeelgoodspaces.com. And the book is $19.95 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. And in a few weeks, it will be available on Amazon.com. The book will be published officially within the next 2 weeks. So that if you place your order on that website, as soon as it gets published, you will get a signed copy of the book. So I'm really excited about that. So, again, it's www.myfeelgoodspaces.com, and look for the tab on Get the Book. And so we made it affordable, $19.95, and I'm real excited about that.
Wonderful. Now, what are other ways in which folks can contact you to dine at your creative table?
Okay, well, a couple of things. You can get me at that website, myfeelgoodspaces.com, or Creative Ways, which is spelled with a K, www.creativeways.com.
Very nice play on words, I might say. The speech professor in me likes that.
Okay, and you can call me at 1-888-280-8318. That number again is 888-280-8318. And if you're in the metropolitan Washington, D.C., Maryland area, I'll have a book signing on September 27th in Capitol Hill at Homebody, D.C., from 5 to 7. And I'll be at Jenny Robertson's annual On Purpose Woman Conference, October 6th.
Woohoo! I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll see you there. And then I'm doing a special book signing and workshop called Creating Feel-Good Spaces for Women on October 27th in Bowie, Maryland at the Imagine Wellness and Yoga Center. If you're on Twitter, on, I believe it's Tuesday, the 25th of September at 7 o'clock. We're going to do a tweet chat on Feel Good Spaces. So keep that in mind. All this information is also on my Facebook. I have a Feel Good Spaces Facebook. Just type in Feel Good Spaces and you'll find it, as well as the Creative Ways and Solutions Facebook page. We'll have plenty of information, or you can simply sign up for my e-newsletter on my website at www.creativeways.com, creative spelled with a K. So it's easy to find me.
Most definitely, and you're everywhere. I love it.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. And, you know, I have one last question for you, because there is this little voyeur in me that likes to always check in with my guests.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you've created a feel-good space for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I am just wondering, what is your personal recipe for replenishment, refreshment, and renewal? What other ingredients do you use to nourish your mind, body, and soul?
Okay. A couple things. My art, I'm a mixed media artist, a doll artist, so that brings me lots of sanity. yoga, meditation, Reiki, and when I eat right, I am feeling good. So using all of those things really nourishes my mind, body, and soul. So thank you for asking.
Oh, sure. And I really have got to check out these dolls. I know we're talking about the book, but you are so gifted, and these dolls resonate in me, and I want some in my space because they would help
me
feel good. Okay, we can talk about that.
Yes, we'll definitely get together on that. I would love to create something special for your space. So I'm definitely, I believe in decorating with dolls. Is a feel-good thing.
My mother would agree with you, but the dolls that I'm envisioning and the work I've seen from you is very different from the dolls that I've seen my mother with, but it's okay.
Yeah, I do
art
dolls.
It has to be her soul,
yeah,
you know?
My dolls are far out, and they got a lot of energy about them. So, and I'm getting ready to do something along the lines with the chakras. So I would like to create a doll that represents each chakra, so...
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Sherry Burton-Ways, for joining us this evening and providing such soul-sustaining information on your book, Feel Good Spaces, A Guide to Decorating Your Home for Body, Mind, and Spirit. Now, I invite listeners to tune in again next month on the second Sunday at 6 for more mind, body, and soul food. On October 14th, as part of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we will have my dear sister friend, Reverend Sensei Alicia Hill. She's my sister from another mister, I like to say. And she shares wonderful insights gleaned from her journey along the path of not just surviving, but thriving with stage 3 breast cancer. And you won't want to miss this powerful, sacred warrior as she tells her story of healing. And we hope to hear you there. Please visit my website, mindbodyandspiritworks.com, or contact me at Tanya@mindbodyandspiritworks.com for more information about my holistic healing, teaching, and writing services, including my upcoming Reiki class. My upcoming classes, I have a Reiki Level 2 class to be held in Silver Spring on October 13th. I have Healing Your Throat Chakra at the October 6th. On Purpose Woman Conference in Columbia, Maryland. Also, you can find information on my meditation CD featuring the music of sound healer Nazia Howard. It's called Meditative Morsels, Prayers and Meditations for Feeding Your Mind, Body, and Soul. And now it is up on iTunes and Amazon. Feel free to connect with me on Facebook, like the Mind, Body, and Soul Food page there. You can also sample my CD and my music store there. You can find me on Twitter as natural_sista. That's S-I-S-T-A-H. I'm also on LinkedIn. And, of course, I invite you to like my show and follow me on Blog Talk Radio. So this evening we've enjoyed a nutritious and delicious meal prepared by our designing diva. I will leave you some mind, body, and soul food to go from Benjamin Franklin. A house is not a home unless it contains food and fire for the mind as well as the body. Take care.
Thank you.